Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. The Sunday Roast presents 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Today we're joined by Alex Danbury, CEO, and Robin Brundle, Executive Chairman of Technology Minerals. Merry Christmas and welcome, gents.
Good morning and season greetings to you.
Hi, good to be here.
Yeah, so obviously 2023 has been quite the year for you. Various grants received, the EA approval of the Liebat facility at Wolverhampton, and the ongoing commissioning at the Tipton lead acid plant. The recycler's first deliveries of Liebox proprietary storage solution for lithium ion battery waste to the Volvo Motor Retail Group. Collaborations with universities such as Warwick University and the University of Birmingham, and also the proposed acquisition of the remaining shares in Recyclers, the company's battery recycling business, is progressing well. The prospectus for shareholder approval is expected to be circulated in Q1 2024. Sounds like progress is being made despite some setbacks, gents.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a big year. We've had a very big year. Very exciting. We've got all the permitting we required, and have now started operating. And now it's just getting ourselves up to 2.5 ton, and then into next year we aim to increase that to 5 ton an hour. So it's really about getting Liebat running at capacity for the beginning of next year and getting the feedstock in. And we have 18 different verticals from where that's coming from. So as we've discussed before, it's contractually bringing that in and understanding all the different places from where we can get the feedstock, I guess, is the key.
Yeah. Talk about some of the challenges you face. And obviously, you have the incident with the fire at Liebat, but just talk about some of the challenges and how you've learned from them, and going forward into 2024, you can take that experience and improve. I mean, you've talked about a cookie cutter model for the plant, you know, the effectively two nearly being brought online. How can you expedite the process of bringing the additional plants on as well into 2024?
We've certainly learned from our experience. I think, you know, we did start at a rather unfortunate time during COVID. So we were dealing with a regulatory agencies that weren't running at full capacity. So those waiting times have come down now. We are also, as you know, sort of dealing with the environmental agency on a regular basis now and have a very good relationship with them. So they're comfortable with the way we operate as a business, and which we believe will certainly help for the next lot of permitting for the next site. And as you say, it really becomes a cookie cutter. We've done an awful lot of work to get to where we are today, and that hasn't gone unnoticed. So it really becomes then a resubmission of documents for a new site. And those documents have obviously already been created at the previous site. So it should bring the timeframes down considerably. So we are confident about permitting times for the second plant will be reduced. In terms of other learning, yes, certainly we had a fire on site, and that was dealt with very well and very efficiently. But there's always learning there. And we've tightened up some procedures, and we've got in more smoke detection, fire detection, and equipment so that we can put out fires quicker. So we hope to not see that again. But lithium ion batteries are dangerous. So all we can do is try and mitigate and make sure that we are prepared for if and when it happens.
I think you've learned how much stress you can cope with, Alex.
Yeah, I see.
And Robin, I think, is that a fair assumption?
Yes, I think that's very fair. I think in many ways it's been a testing year for the management team, but I'm very proud of our entire management team and the way that the year has been dealt with. And then we really sort of have got to the end of this year in a very, very strong position for 2024. And it's now just about building the business. As I said, it's really learning about the idiosyncrasies of the lithium ion market and who holds those batteries and where we get them from. Some of these conversations are not short. You can imagine. It's an interesting industry that spans. You've got the wee recyclers, and then you've got major corporations as well, like the OEMs who have got battery issues. And some of them haven't even looked at it. They hadn't even looked at it that closely. So we're kind of working with them, looking at their issues and how to solve it with them, and making sure that as a single point of contact for them to remove as much hassle from the business plan as possible and just deal with it as a service provider to them. So, you know, that comes with all sorts of auditing from our sides. They all want to come on site and see what we're doing and look at our ISOs and our APTO, et cetera, and make sure that we're actually operating. Because I think a lot of companies have fallen foul of situations where those batteries have been taken from them and then not actually recycled. So everyone's very cautious. But obviously, as we are recycling and dispatching those batteries, they can come to site to see that, gives them comfort. And then we build a relationship. And those relationships will hopefully be long lasting because of the work that's gone into them from the beginning and also because of the service we provide.
I would add to that as well that just on going back to the fire point, you know, it's also created opportunity for us because we were able to, as a test, run our fire damaged material through the plant, and the liquid in the lithium ion batteries called electrolyte clearly has gone, so that's not a recyclable scheme. But what it has done is evidence that we can actually still get full value back out of the commodities from even the burnt material. So that lends itself beautifully to anybody in the space that's had fire damaged material, and particularly to insurance companies. So, you know, it's actually generated another revenue stream for us. So there's good that's come out of bad effectively. And, you know, and it's helping to inform policy. And to that point, you know, political engagement and being able to fully understand legislation and regulation and the direction it's traveling in is another important part of what we've done through 2023. So you'll know the work we've done with the House of Commons through the Catapult and effectively Select Committee, and that we've had direct input and I would say influence in the mineral strategy and also the battery strategy. And so we're fully aware of the direction of travel. And those committees actually wish to carry on for a period of months now, of which we will still be engaged, to ensure that we report back on the effectiveness of what has actually been released by government now. And being able to go and do a 90-minute briefing session to the House of Lords was also very helpful to make sure that you know, we're in a very fast-changing environment here. And it was helpful to be able to make sure that both houses were aligned in their knowledge. So that's been particularly helpful, and it does give us a good insight as to the direction of travel to maximize shareholder value from a political perspective. So we're particularly pleased with that as well. And yes, as Alex has said, you know, I think the gestation of a lot of these relationships with people that will be sending us material, they're really lining up like dominoes, in my opinion. So we've put so much groundwork, and so has the team put so much groundwork in 2023, you know, and not, you know, without wishing to sound emotive in any way, but often it's been 6-7 days a week flat out, making sure that we can cope as a small team, keeping costs down as low as we can so that our burn rate is as low as we can keep it for the shareholders, but also evidencing that competency. And that means that many of us, C-suite as well, have actually been wearing a whole range of hats as we've been through 2023. And that will change now. We've got some new people joining the team as we go through Q1 in 2024. I can't say too much about why they're joining and their focus, but we will give you more news updates on that in 2024. And we start to bring in even more energy to the engine room now, because we know some of our dominoes from the hard work of this year will fall into that first quarter in 2024. That's fine narrative, but what does that mean? It really means that we've been working jolly hard in our 18 verticals of finding batteries to come to site. We know the plant is working effectively to certain volumes, and that we can even improve on those as we go through 2024. And, you know, we're in a very good place with the number of people bidding for our offtake of all of our products and commodities that come off the back end of the recycling process. So for me, you know, I'm looking forward to that start of 2024. We've got to get those dominoes knocked over, but they really are beautifully positioned, in my opinion. And yeah, that's what gives me the excitement for that 2024 fast start. So all got to happen, of course, and they all come with the usual health warnings. And of course, it's commerce, and of course, it's plant and machinery. Occasionally, you get a hiccup, and we have to just deal with that as management. So lots of international relationships going on, lots of local relationships. We've got interest in the mobile solution that we've told our investors about this year as well, both from in the UK and outside of the UK. And that project is now 4 months in. We've received gate fees, which are we've received receipts of £372,000 now, which has predominantly come in as we've now gone live with the Liebeck plant and the boxes and so on. So, you know, it's all really starting to line up. And as Alex alluded to, you know, the due diligence phase is something that frankly is taking longer than we thought. We've still got companies out there with serious volumes of batteries, and we're 9 months into their due diligence because they're a major corporation and they're moving at their pace with their diligence. And, you know, that's entirely their prerogative, but that can be how long it's taking. And to be frank, you know, that is a bit of a surprise. But what isn't a surprise is that when we look at the exponential growth of the opportunity of lithium ion batteries, you know, we think we're even underestimating our own availability targets on that. And, you know, we start off next year needing probably about a 10% market share of the total market. And of course, right now we don't have any industrial scale competition. And at the peak during our 5-year strategy, you know, we will only need a maximum of 22% market share of that battery space. So, yeah, lots of good stuff to look forward to. We've got some additional heads coming. We've got some additional focus. We're going to be looking, you know, accelerating the rollout of the plants is a strategy that we're looking at. And we are also very keen to progress the bringing the black mass separation capability here to the UK, again, as a first mover and in a cost-effective and business-correct way. So, in other words, you know, we're not looking at a £600 million hydromet plant. We're looking at something that's got a far more sensible business plan attached to it.
And would you say that that is the priority for the company, the black mass separation, because of the, I guess, the generation, the revenue generation from that?
Phil, we have so many verticals of revenue generation that they all remain a priority, and they all, you know, they will all get equal focus as well. And some of the heads that we're recruiting in Q1 will have specific expertise in that space. So it will bring additional expertise in that space, and we'll look forward to telling you more about that in Q1.
Very good. Robin and Alex, we chose you in 2023 as one of our stocks of the year, and you have performed admirably, as in you haven't moved at all. In terms of a ship, you started at 1.3p and you finish in and around
that. All that work for nothing.
So basically, you've done nothing. You've made none of us anything. No, I'm only joking. Right.
So we will, Kevin, thank you for that. We'll just assume that you're going to sue those people that, on that motivational skills course you went on. Yeah?
No, I was the one running the course, not. And one of the reasons why we've now chosen you for 2024. Is because you've put so many of the bricks in place, and yet the valuation and the appreciation of what is now there has not come. The market has not come. Now, obviously, there are factors involved in that. There is still outstanding situations with the RTO and basically cash flow, because there's been a delay in this because of the batteries haven't come in this side of Christmas, if you like, this year. But I think all those things are things that you will overcome. So the question, I suppose, is, even though it's a very long preamble before it, is what is the blue sky for Teck Minerals over the next 12 to 24 months? Obviously, this is for 2024, but where are we headed, Rob?
I think you actually answered it in your preamble, if I'm perfectly honest, but I think those are exactly the things we need to do. We need to generate the cash that at Liebeck in Q1 by getting the batteries in and through. We need to complete the RTO, and then post that, it's on to getting up to 5 ton an hour and the second plant, and then working on our black mass separation. So it's really an expansion at this point. As you said, the building blocks are in place. Now it's getting the cash generation up to where we want it to be, and building out further plant. I think those are really the key, and then the black mass separation. And also the improvement in the separation of our copper aluminium, because at the moment we only get about £1,500 a ton for that. We can get that up, the copper itself, up to about £6,000 a ton plus. So it's just improving the value streams of everything that comes out the back end of the plant, including the black mass, which we could see a 4x multiplier on. So it's a lot of work ahead, but there's a clear path to it.
Echo what Alex has said there. I think we are politically well positioned. I think we are well advanced with the background work for the RTO and expect to be progressing that in Q1 next year, which will, support the melding of the two entities and give a more simplistic sight to investors, which will be helpful. And there are reasons why, we've had to set these dates back a little bit, and they will become clear as time goes on. We have a great level of support from the AGM with our shareholders, and the feedback that we received from their site visit from the AGM this year, which is fantastic, because we can't do what we do without the support of our shareholders, and we thank them very much for their patience and continued interest. And I think everybody left from their site visit with a smile on their face, which was brilliant. And so, we've got political stability. We've got shareholders excited by what we're doing, which is fantastic. We are underpriced in our opinion, and we're working hard for all shareholders to change that. We've got the operational building blocks in place as well. And from those, then profitability and cash will come. And so, we've been busy aligning all of these stars, and, it's still incumbent upon us to make sure we deliver against those, and our team of people are very aware of the pressures that we're all under to deliver, and we're working hard to achieve that. So I think really that's probably the best summary I can give you.
And in terms of the mining assets, obviously they're worthless.
But despite evaluation having been put on with the sale of the 10%,
Phil, come on, they're worthless.
Yeah.
Tell us otherwise, please, Alex. Why are they not worthless?
For the same reason that we started this entire journey. There's a massive under supply of critical materials in the market. We all know this. Although there are peaks and troughs at the moment in the prices of those materials, including nickel and cobalt and lithium. We know that there's manipulation going on in the market. And the reality is there's been an underinvestment in exploration for an awfully long time. It takes a long time from discovery to discover, and then to take that through to an operating mine. And we've got now 430 plus battery manufacturing plants globally, and they need raw materials. So the undersupply is real and it's continuing. And I think those assets give us great option value. They're good assets with a good resource on them. So those resources aren't proven at this stage, but as you know from Ireland, etc., we're getting good results through. And from our other assets like Idaho, we've already sold 10% and proving a value there. And we've got a potential joint venture partner looking at Spain at the moment. So the business model continues, which is to bring in players to spend the money. We just need to do the discovery, and we keep it capital light. But in the long term, there's really good option value there for the company with very little downside.
Yeah, I think in my view, obviously, we have got quite a lot of mining companies that we represent. That I think your mining assets are probably worth about what your market cap is worth right now. So basically, Recyclist is free. And that's the way that's the way I see it anyway. And that's pre-revenue valuation of Recyclist. So once this all becomes Recyclist, which you've obviously announced, then I think once the money starts to come in and the revenue and your fixed costs are going to be covered, easily with the different fees, the gate fees, you've got the black mass, which might be delayed in terms of when the revenue comes in, but I think it's worth waiting for if it's 4x the amount. You've also had your first sales of the boxes, the metal boxes that we saw a couple of years ago when we first came. And on top of that, you're then in a situation where we haven't even mentioned the fact that you have a lead acid battery plant as well, which just might produce some revenue and profit. So basically being sarcastic, but I think the reality of the situation is that you're massively undervalued. Can't quite put my finger on it why exactly, but there are a few things that I think once rectified, hopefully the handbrake will be taken off and we'll see you move forward.
Yes, thank you. And I think you've summed it up very nicely. And I think, you know, from our side, it's a little frustrating that we see the investment side struggling with the complexity of having two touch points in this circular economy. But thankfully, the automotive space are getting it because, you know, as we know, that these materials for lithium-ion batteries are predominantly controlled and all roads go to and from China in relation to raw materials from around the world at the moment in this space. But the automotive companies are actually looking at us during our discussions and saying, we get it, you know, you're giving us a recycling solution, but you're also potentially giving us medium-term raw material supply with the assets that you've got. So on the one hand, we're getting a large degree of enthusiasm from players that are looking for these materials. And on the other hand, we're getting the investment side saying, this is too complex, simplify it for us. And so we're having to manage that. And that will be something that will continue to be in our minds as to how we position that as we transition through the ITO early next year.
Very good. Okay, so my Christmas question to you both is, what is the most exotic, strangest, weirdest place you've ever spent Christmas Day?
I know Alex is going to have a good one because I know he likes his travel. He's got to have been somewhere crazy on Christmas Day.
I'm struggling to remember, actually.
What, it was that good a day?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, short of the Caribbean, but most of the time I think it's been with my family.
Same here. I'm very lucky, I think, to have a very traditional family Christmas, and I'm very lucky to be able to do that. And so I would say home is probably my street.
Yeah, the artists. Yeah.
Which, you know, for me is certainly not dull because I really do enjoy family, and I've reached an age where I have three generations. And you know, some beautiful little grandchildren up to the age of four. So you can imagine the noise and the carnage that happens around our house, but it's just delightful. So yeah, you know, great family time for us. And sorry, I can't give you a more exciting.
No, that's a great answer. And Santa has come again, basically, to your life.
I suppose for some people, I'll be spending Christmas as a very modern family with my ex-wife and our respective partners. So for some people, that might be a pretty weird place to be. Yeah. For us, it's great.
We'll pray that goes well.
Good. Well, on that note, we wish you the great success in 2024, and we look forward to welcoming you back on the podcast in next year. Just want to say thanks very much for your time and thanks for appearing.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks to you both, and season's wishes to you and your colleagues as well, and also to all of our shareholders and followers. We wish you a very healthy and happy time through the festive season, and look forward to talking with you more through 2024.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.